I love this service. I really do. It was such a joy to hear all of you praying those prayers of thanksgiving. As I was sitting up here, my short little prayer of thanksgiving was, Lord, thank you for allowing me to be a pastor among such thankful people, a people who know exactly what to give thanks for. It's just glorious. It's really glorious. Well, recently I was reading an article by a young lady who's trying to understand where all the joy went. And she made a comment that caught my attention in the article. She said, I never thought I'd say this, but if you really want to understand the defining mood we're living in, look no further than a magazine. And she goes on to talk about how magazines used to be something that were just sheer happiness to her. She used to read magazines for articles that were fun for her, beautiful clothes to look at, styling tips, home decor ideas. She enjoyed some of the interviews with people that were interesting, and she also began to turn into a love for cooking by reading some of the magazines. She was in college at the time, and she said she found in those magazines a way to cook some food that her, how she put it, she said, my housemates seemed less afraid of. So she always thought of magazines as happy places, but as she was considering that question, where did all the joy go, she happened upon a stand there with a bunch of magazines, and she realized that the magazines were preoccupied with things that were far less than joyful and happy. She mentioned a few of them, how to cope with anxiety in a frantic world, why consent is more than just saying yes, how I learned to love my stretch marks, why practicing self-care is essential for my OCD, and how to spot a narcissist. And she made this comment in her article. She said, if this is any reflection of society that we're living in, then the outlook isn't great. And you know she's right. In 2019, the World Happiness Report found that negative feelings are on the increase. And it said in their report that worry, sadness, and anger have been rising all around the world, up 27% from 2010 to 2018. I'm still trying to figure out how they were able to mark that. But interestingly, though, this sense of not being happy and being full of negative feelings doesn't correlate to poverty. They said in the report that unhappiness is particularly common among the richest countries in the world. The report really does give an ugly picture, particularly about American happiness. It said that American adults are getting less happy ever since the year 2000. Adolescents are experiencing more depression, more suicidal ideation, and more self-harm. And sadly, they didn't offer any understanding of why or how to fix it. They offered some suggestions, but they even realized in the article that those suggestions weren't really the real causes. They talked about income inequity, political polarization. They discussed Americans' problems with the addictions that we have to the screens of our cell phones, work, drugs, illicit sex, and exercise. They even went into Britain and said that some of the same arguments were there. Austerity, which is rising, political tribalism, addictions, and a lack of community cohesion. Over the past couple years, I think a lot of people have had to come to the realization that they are truly unhappy people because they've stripped away, COVID stripped away for a time, all those usual activities of diversion that they had, trips that they would go on, they couldn't go on, inner places of entertainment that they would enjoy, they couldn't enjoy for a while. And they were sequestered in their home with little to do and realized that at home they were very unhappy people. They found life hollow and unsatisfying. And I think the reason is because we as a society are becoming increasingly disconnected from what exactly does give our lives joy and meaning. Among all of us as people, there's this innate longing for joy to be fulfilled. You can see it everywhere, but we just don't know what the solution is. The magazines expose the problem, but they don't fix the problem. And many of the solutions that we think are answers to that innate need for joy really do more damage than they do good to all of us. We find ourselves increasingly unhappy, and I think it's time that our society begins to wake up. And before I go any further, I want to say this. I'm going to make a claim here that might seem very forward, and it is. But the scriptures tell us that the only way to true joy and happiness and a life of gratitude is in relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the unique response to the search of our human hearts. And this is not a new comment. Augustine, several centuries ago, said that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, God. You see, the scriptures tell us that in Jesus Christ alone, there is the only source for human joy. And it is found not within ourselves, like we might think, or in our diversions, like we might seek, but in Him and in Him alone. It's the very opposite of this man-centered attempt of this individualistic culture that we live in to define our own truth and to find our own path to happiness. Now, I realize that this is a bold claim. Perhaps some might even call it an audacious claim. But is it really audacious to ignore what is the true place of fulfillment and joy in the human heart? I think it's more audacious to try to find hope and meaning and happiness and satisfaction in an ideal morning routine or a political party or in greater success at work or adding more things to your house or building a bigger house. I think those things are actually far crazier to think about. Our secular society doesn't know where to turn. But when you look at the Word of God, it tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that's found in Him, and that He meets perfectly every longing of our hearts. People cry for freedom. But what about the freedom that Jesus says, where He said that He would give us liberty, that He would give us joy, that He would set us free from the bondage of sin and death? People are crying for justice. But we have a Lord Jesus who promises that He'll put everything right in us and in this world, and no injustice will ever be missed. We have a Savior who says that I've come to give them life and life more abundant, and He fills our hearts with gladness and joy, because He Himself is the source of our happiness. I think it's time we shouted to our generation to stop this search in the midst of meaningless platitudes and these foolish solutions that they think will fix them. There's a problem. There's a problem. And they look for an answer to that problem. But every answer they try to put into that hole just makes the hole bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what brings us to this evening. We're at a Thanksgiving service, the very heart of a Christian's response to God, to speak of that genuine sense of gratitude to God. I was talking to someone just a couple days ago at our service on Sunday, and I was talking about coming to life in Jesus Christ and recognizing for the first time that heaven was my actual home. I could actually think about heaven as a place I was going to go to. And I said the thought of that so dazzled me that when I looked outside my friend's car, I could have sworn the grass was greener. I could have sworn the sky was bluer. My whole outlook on life was changed, even with the coloring that my brain was able to take in. We're here to express genuine gratitude to God our Savior. And where you find gratitude, there you'll find joy. Because they're present together. The scriptures put them together. Philippians 4, listen to this, verses 4 to 6. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Rejoicing and thanksgiving are close at hand. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Gratitude and joy are friends, and they like to stay together. And joy is wrapped up in gratitude. Those things that we can give thanks for, they move our heart to a place of rejoicing in God. And those places that we rejoice in God in suddenly turn us back to thanksgiving. We find them fueling each other. And so by setting out to give thanks, we truly find ourselves on a pathway of joy. Not only do we see the word thanksgiving often in Scripture, but there is this whole host of words that are related to one another that talk about thanksgiving. I'm not going to enumerate all of them, but we know many of those things, synonyms as well as antonyms that speak against those who would refuse to move their heart to gratitude. Thanksgiving's tied up in the way we worship God. It's not just saying thank you, but it is giving Him praise from a heart that's full of joy. Listen to Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. This evening, I want to walk through five categories of God's blessings to us. Gifts from the giver of life. Gifts from the giver of eternal life in Jesus Christ that prompt our hearts to be thankful and thus to be joyful people. The first category is called God's common grace. That might not be a phrase that you're used to hearing, and it may not sound like a very extravagant gift if I'm going to call it a common grace. But the word common is not talking about the quality of the gift. It's talking about the extent of the gift. And by saying God's common grace, we're talking about a gift of grace that is conveyed to everyone who's alive on earth. It's a gift that is for every person, whether or not they even acknowledge that God exists. The Scriptures tell us that God makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. From that very first breath that we take right after the clock ticks midnight, all the way through to the final moment of that day, our days are filled with extensions of God's common grace. What can you be thankful for? That is something common to all of us. Sleep, our good night's sleep, our sleep on a warm bed in a warm home, an active mind and body, a refrigerator with food inside. Acts 14 says that the Lord has not left Himself without testimony. He's shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. That's God's grace, and that was a message given to people who didn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. How about a job? How about the money it provides? How about the opportunities that are given you to express your skills or your experiences? How about the people that are around you that care about you, who care about your life and watch over you? These are all things that God grants and distributes to people, whether or not they know Him. And so one category of giving thanks is simply to think about those things and offer them back to the Lord with thanksgiving. But there's another one, another category is God's creation. The Apostles' Creed speaks about the Lord as a creator. It says, God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. God is the maker of all things. And our world is filled with, in every place that you turn, no shortage of reasons why we can give thanks to Him. Nature dazzles our minds and our senses with glimpses of God's majesty and might if we simply but look around. I remember one time on the Mass Pike, Royal and I were traveling back to Boston where we lived, and we stopped at a toll booth. You remember toll booths? Some of you are, we're going to have to say that in like 10 years. There's going to be a whole generation that's never even seen a toll booth. But I was stopping there, and I was about to put my money, give my money to the guy, and I said, have you seen the lights? And the northern lights had reached all the way down into Massachusetts. And he said, oh, I don't have time to look at lights. I'm busy working here. And as I drove away, I thought, how sad. He didn't even want to look up. Psalm 95 says this, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. He's the creator. Give thanks. See, creation not only reveals God, but creation also prompts us to praise him. God aimed for creation to stir awe in our hearts, to recognize his might and his power, but also a sense of his goodness and his wisdom and the brilliance of his ability to put such an array of things into this creation. I had a wonderful time this morning, got up early in the morning, drove over to Dave Parker's house, picked him up, and we went to Hempstead Lake. And as we walked around, there's still a little bit of color in the trees, and the sun was sort of gleaming through there and lighting them up and making them iridescent as the light shone through the leaves. And to walk around the lakes and to see the stillness and the reflection and the crispness in the air, and to see the birds flying around, chickadees and other birds flying, some of the waterfowl that were there. What a glorious thing to behold. A world full of beauty to enjoy. Skies full of colorful hues. A sun that issues its glow and warms us, not only our bodies, but our hearts. To think about just a few weeks ago, people out picking apples and enjoying the bounty and the harvest that is here every season. The wonderful diversity of animal life, the resources that fill our earth. We take them in with our eyes. Our ears enable us to hear the music of it all. We pick up the scents with our noses. We enjoy the taste with our tongues. The sensation of a cool breeze or a warm sun's ray. All of these things are gifts from God as the Creator. And as we eat, we acknowledge him. We acknowledge that he's provided the food. He's provided the seasoning. He's provided all the things that are there for our nourishment, for our strength, and even for our pleasure. Creation grabs our attention, but it points us to himself, to the Creator. And as Psalm 95 says, let us give thanks for that. There's another category, God's providence and his provision. You see, the guiding influence of this universe isn't just fate. It isn't just sheer luck or forces. It's an absolutely wise and good and intimately personal God who directs all the affairs of existence. And through the eyes of faith in the Savior, we can interpret his activities around us and understand, just as Paul said in Romans 8, all things work together for the good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God's providence refers to his sovereign governance and oversight of our world. And part of that providence is seen in the things that he provides us. You know, we look at our lives and we think we've been busy and the activity of our hands have caused the things that we own, jobs and homes and finances and friends and healthy bodies. We're the ones that get up and exercise and go to the gym. We're the ones that get up and go to work. We're the ones that are hovering over and sweating over and crying over the businesses that we have. We've done this, no? Where do you think you got the mental ability? Where do you think you got the physical strength? Who do you think moved those customers into your pathway? The people of Israel were reminded, it is the Lord who gives you the strength to make wealth. Even Nebuchadnezzar, as wicked a man as he was, after the Lord humbled his heart, he recognized that it was necessary for him to give thanks to God for his providence, because he places people where he wants them, and also to be thankful for the provision of sanity, even. A fourth category in which we can give thanks is God's grace through Christ. Some of the things that I've just talked about lie more on the side of common grace. a grace that falls on believers and unbelievers alike. But what I'm talking about here is a blessing that comes only to those who are united in Christ by faith. These are peculiar blessings to God's redeemed people. These gifts of grace are purchased by Christ's blood, and I think they're the greatest gifts we could ever receive. And they produce within all of us the deepest gratitude. They were costly gifts, priceless to us. Listen to what Spurgeon had to say about it. He said, if you must make a little list of what he has given you, ponder on these things for a moment. He's given you a name and a place among his people. He's given you the rights and nature of his sons. He's given you the complete forgiveness of all your sins, and you have it now. He's given you a robe of righteousness, which you're wearing. He's given you a superlative loveliness that's found only in Christ. He's given you access to him and acceptance at the mercy seat. He's given you this world and promise of the world to come. He's given you all that he has, and he's given you his own son. And how shall he now refuse you anything? He is given only as God could give. You see, nothing flushes out ingratitude or discontentment or unhappiness than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the gospel tells us that Jesus has come to save us from our sins, that he, by doing so, satisfies us in all of our emptiness, that he sustains us even in our weariness, that he squelches our fears and covers our shame, that the Lord Jesus Christ in his love shelters us, that he shields us by his power, and he sanctifies and matures us by the work of the Spirit's powerful presence, and he even commissions and sends us out on a glorious mission to spread his name abroad. What we have in the person and work of Jesus Christ fills our life with wonder and therefore gratitude. And in being a grateful people, we find ourselves joyful. And in being joyful, we find ourselves content and fulfilled. This is why the Apostle Paul in Corinthians said, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That victory prompted him, and it prompts us to be thankful. Because in the gospel, as Spurgeon said, you encounter a bottomless well of God's gracious gifts. And if you want to avoid straying away from gratitude, there's only one way. Stay close to Christ, and you won't wander away. The last category is God himself. We've talked about gifts, but we also can be thankful to the giver for being the giver that he is. The more we think about or learn about God, the more we find reasons to be thankful. His actions and his gifts prompt our thankfulness. But when we start to understand who he is, when we start to read the scriptures and discover more of his character, those attributes that speak about his character, it promotes our hearts to thanksgiving also. As we grow in the knowledge of him, we find ourselves transformed by just the contemplation of him. It's good to praise God and thank him for what he's done, but it's also good to revere him for who he is. Listen to Psalm 7. I'll give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. So as you think about worshiping the Lord, consider who he is and just some of the displays of his character as you perhaps tease apart some of those attributes of his mercy and his love and his kindness and his faithfulness and his wisdom and his knowledge and his holiness and his righteousness and his patience. You could spend weeks on each of those. The Bible calls us to thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God, who is the primary source of anything and everything good. Just as James said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. the gifts that we have, the bounty of blessings that we receive, the fullness of life that we enjoy, they didn't come to us by luck or fortune. They came to us from God. And the more we understand that, the more grateful we become. Because we realize that God is the very fountain of it all. It's Him, His hand, from whom all these blessings flow. So you might be thinking, how can I be more grateful? How can I increase the gratitude of my heart? Well, just start with these categories that I've mentioned. Because they, in their own way, sort of call us to look at life in its totality. To identify God as the source and the substance of every good gift. So, in a day when your heart doesn't feel so grateful, let me encourage you just to stop, to pause, and to look around. Right where you're at. What do you see? What do you hear? What blessings of God are in front of you? Maybe you might be in your room or outside or at work or perhaps at a cafe or somewhere. Just take a moment and notice what's around you. Walk through your house. Walk through your office. Spend time in that familiar place to you. And look at the things that are opportunities for you to give thanks. To give thanks for the gift of food that you have. The ability to enjoy its flavor. The fact that you're not going today without eating. That you have someone who loves you and that you love. For a good conversation that you might have just had or anticipating later in the day. For the family that's around you. For the friends. For the laughter, for a joyful celebration, or a companion with you who cried with you through a painful circumstance. All of those are gifts. Reflect on your day and your week and consider more deeply the blessings you've experienced. And take time to contemplate that all of that came from God as a gift to you. And as you look around at the gifts that you have, or you look back at the gifts you've received, be sure to look up and to thank Him for what He's given you. Give thanks to God, not only for the things that you see, but more thankful for His kindness and faithfulness and mercy and grace to bring salvation to undeserving people through His Son, Jesus Christ. And all of us, as joyful and grateful believers, just as that lady said, where did the joy go? And she goes to the magazine rack and she sees a lot of things there and says, if that is an indication of where our society is at, we are in trouble. And in the midst of a society that is full of that, we can shine as lights in the midst of a dark and twisted generation. Because they are increasingly disenchanted with themselves. And they're increasingly disenchanted with all the stuff that doesn't bring the fulfillment that they thought it would. And they're wondering, does life really have any meaning? Is life ever going to be fulfilling? And the more we draw to the Lord, and the more we understand about Him, and the more we give thanks to Him, the more our lives are going to be marked by joy and gratitude. And they're going to say, what is the reason of the hope that's in you? I don't get you. You're not like anybody else. I want to know what's going on. You see, Thanksgiving's not just something we tack on to the end of a long day in a short little prayer we say before we go to bed. It's something which affects our whole mindset. And really does mark out the pathway of our whole life. Because it infiltrates us because of who has given us all the gifts that we've received. And now we have a ministry to use that grateful, thankful, joyful, fulfilled heart in Christ into a mission to display Him so that there might be other grateful, thankful, joyful, fulfilled people who understand their sins are forgiven in Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we are truly grateful. You have showered us undeservingly with blessings that are beyond our ability to number. And Father, we can't even begin to catalog them, let alone enumerate all the ones in the categories of that. But Father, we're grateful. Grateful that you've granted us your grace of life and you've filled it with all the necessary things that we need. And even more so, you give us bounty in seasons and a plentiful table and gladness in our hearts. You, by your glorious work of creation, and with the senses you've granted us as humans, have given us ability to perceive the beauty and wonder of this created order. And truly, it speaks of you. And Lord, you've moved us to thankfulness many times with that. You have steered and moved our lives in ways that we still can't comprehend. How all the movements of people over the course of time have weaved together a pleasant pathway or brought us into a moment where our lives have been transformed for the better. And we realize upon looking at that you have worked in your providence. But Lord, we are most grateful for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who's granted us life when we deserved death, who granted us forgiveness when we deserved judgment, who granted us heaven and your presence when we deserved hell and banishment. Lord, for this, our hearts cannot be thankful enough. But we can cry the victor song with the Apostle Paul, with as full a heart as he had. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for these bountiful blessings that you've granted us, and so many more, receive our thanks in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.